Chapter 25. Nia took Romeo out for a long walk before work. A ferry had just docked, and cars were unloading, but it was a quiet business at this time of the morning, unlike the chaos when the later ones arrived. In the harbour, she noticed some of the splendid gaffers had arrived, decorated with bunting, their magnificent tall white sails reaching into the blue sky. Nia and Romeo went down on the beach. Despite everything, Nia still loved it down there. And this morning it felt so fresh after the sea had magically washed the shore. She stood on the shoreline throwing pebbles in the sea, a game Romeo loved, barking and jumping, although never going in too deep. From where she stood, she could see the supports under the pier. She'd read that a lot of them had been replaced a few years ago, as the old ones had been eaten away by shipworm and gribble. It was rather scary to imagine most people had walked along the wooden pier in the years before, totally unaware of the danger below, but then it was never easy to know what was happening below the surface. As the tide was low, Nia was able to get close to the supports, see the debris that was tangled around them. And then she saw it. It was tiny, a sliver of material, but she knew what it was. Gingerly, she picked it out and washed it in the sea. The salt had faded it slightly, but she knew the blue silk, slightly singed at the edges, was from the voodoo doll Ruby had shown her. The sea might wash the beach every day, but nothing was forgotten. Seeing it made Nia think again about the curse and that voodoo doll, which she'd rather put to the back of her mind. Who had made it? Joe had suggested Lucy, hadn't he? And yes, she'd seen all that blue silk in her workroom. Usually she used it to make those lovely collages of the sea. But had she also used it to create the voodoo doll? To channel hate? Lucy remained a bit of an enigma. Apparently so vulnerable, hiding behind Ian, and yet at the hen party, Nia had seen a bright, determined side to her. Nia picked up the piece of silk and took it home to place next to the fossil with the red wax. They didn't look much, but they were proof of what she'd seen. Nia shook her head. She knew she wasn't imagining what she remembered of that night. Nia had to work today, so there was no time to dwell on everything. Somehow, she needed to put her worries to one side. As she entered the salon, however, she found it difficult to say her usual friendly hello to Jade. Fortunately, Jade also seemed preoccupied and didn't notice. Nia went to check her appointments for the day and closed her eyes. He was the last person she felt like seeing. She opened her eyes and there he was, striding across the close, and the look on his face did not bode well. Was this about Sunday? Good morning, Ian. Her smile wasn't returned. I'll get the gown. Without speaking, he sat in the chair and glared at his reflection. So what can I do for you? She asked, desperately trying to keep things normal.
You can make the idiots at the TV station see sense. They need to look at their demographic. Lucy and I are what they need, not more brainless B-rated celebrities talking about their latest boob job.
Has something happened?
The question was fatuous. It was clear something had.
I've received a phone call from my agent. The station is thinking of ditching us for someone else. It's so disappointing and extremely frustrating.
He caught her eye in the mirror, and his face melted into a smile.
I'm sorry, this is nothing to do with you. My hair. Yes, well, I expect you can see what Ruby usually did. Same again, please.
She washed his hair, and could feel how angry he was. Once she was cutting his hair, he returned to the subject of the TV programme.
This would have been so great for Lucy. She has no idea how good she would be on camera. It would be a real boost for her confidence.
She seemed quite nervous about it all. She was quite shaky when she was last here.
He glanced up, his eyes narrowed.
Lucy is by nature a little on edge. It can make her clumsy. There's nothing wrong with her.
Sorry, I wasn't suggesting anything.
Weren't you? I was telling Lucy about you coming to the swing pool, and she told me about what Elvira said the night of the hen do. And you were probing Richie when he came in here. You were checking up on me, weren't you? Seeing if Richie and I had been swimming together the night Ruby died?
They met each other's eyes in the mirror. I was simply making conversation when Richie had his hair cut.
We both know that's not true, don't we? Richie knew you were digging, and he told me about it. We do talk to each other, you know. We are very close. We trust the police. We are good people. And you need to remember that. We may criticize each other, but when one of us is threatened, we unite. So, be careful.
There was no mistaking the threat in his voice. Nia felt her hands shaking and put down the scissors. I need to go and fetch something, she said quickly. In the cloakroom, she ran her hands under cold water until the shaking stopped, her breathing settled, and she returned. As if the previous conversation had never happened, Ian began talking about the weekend ahead.
We all meet up at White's on Saturday evening about 8. Make sure you come.
She smiled at him nervously. Of course, it sounds great fun. When she'd finished, he stood up, threw her a charming smile, thanking her for the haircut. After he'd paid, he went over to Jade, who was with a client. He leant down, his face close to hers.
Don't forget Saturday, he said,
and left. As Jade had promised, it was a very busy day, with additional walk-ins as people got ready for the regatta. It was 6 o'clock by the time the last client had left, and they were clearing up. As Jade was putting the towels in to wash, and Nia was wiping down her work trolley, a woman came into the salon. Nia recognised her from the grocer's. Hiya, can I help you? She asked.
It's all right, I don't need a haircut. I can see you are shutting up. I bet you are busy. Everyone has had their hair done for old gaffers.
It feels that way. I brought these over for Jade. She handed her some boxes of shortbread with a picture of a red squirrel and present from the Isle of Wight on the box. Jade came out.
Oh, I thought I heard your voice, Joan. Thanks so much. I've been waiting for these to come in.
I know. I thought I'd make sure you got a few boxes before they sell out. Jade took the boxes and turned to Nia.
I ask the cleaner to leave a box of these for each new visitor at the Airbnb. It's the kind of gesture that gets you pushed up to a super host.
You get a lot of bookings?
Yes, it's a good location and a lovely flat. Joe's friend, who has a yacht here, uses it quite a bit, but people come from all over the place.
Nia caught the word.
A flat? Not a bungalow?
No, a flat. It's in such a nice complex, feels very safe.
What's the address?
Jade blinked.
You looking for somewhere else to live?
The address is 13 Haven Way.
Nia closed her eyes. How could she have been so stupid?
Something wrong?
No, nothing.
After Joan had left, Nia found her phone and showed Jade the photograph of the bungalow.
Have you any idea who lives here? It's 13 Haven Place.
Jade grinned.
You thought I owned that?
No, I've never seen it.
Why are you asking? In fact, why have you got a photograph of it on your phone?
Nia explained how she had followed Richie and seen him go in there, avoiding mentioning her conclusions. Jade, however, was too quick for her.
Hang on, you didn't think Richie was going into my place, did you?
Oh, God, you didn't imagine me and him...
The look of horror said it all. I'm sorry, I saw the road name and...
Okay, but no, Richie doesn't come to my place, and we certainly have never had any kind of relationship. As if I would have done that to Ruby. And anyway, Richie? No way.
Jade's face settled any doubts in Nia's mind. Richie was definitely not the father of Jade's baby.
What do you think Richie is up to, then?
I suppose he could be seeing another woman, but that bungalow looks like it's owned by an old lady, not some pretty young artist or whoever he'd be seeing.
It's all very odd, said Nia. She sighed.
Ian had a go at me earlier, accused me of sticking my nose in. I suppose he has a point.
I'm sure Ian didn't mean any harm. He'll be protecting Lucy. She's everything to him, you know. Don't let Ian put you off digging around. I heard him telling you about the TV thing. He was in a bad mood, that's all. Anyway, if everyone here is innocent, they don't have anything to hide.
Everyone has secrets, but it doesn't mean they're a killer, does it?
Jade put a hand on her stomach. No, I suppose not. Still, I'd like you to keep looking. We've not got any answers yet.
Oh, did you get the text about the helpline?
I did, thanks. I'm going this evening. At least no one will shout at me for following them there.
Jade threw her a smile.
Nia continued clearing up while Jade sorted out some admin on the laptop. As she sat eating her tea, Nia felt a wave of despair. What if she'd got everything wrong? She went and found the fossil, touched the red wax.
I can't give up, not yet, she said to Romeo,
who wagged his tail, more concerned that it must be time to go out. As she walked, she tried to clear her head. She had said she would go to the helpline that evening, and despite the fact it was nerve-wracking, she decided she would keep to her plans and go. This was going to be a long shot, she knew, but she had to try.